Thank you. Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Prepare the way, the prophets call. Make ready the highways for God.
How we long to walk down the sidewalks in God's kingdom of hope.
Prepare your hearts, for God's realm opens a new day.
We yearn for the time when the wolf and the lamb will live together in harmony.
Prepare the way. God promises a new day when adversaries will lay down their arms.
We dream of a world transformed by God's love.
May the God of hope fill your hearts with all joy and peace.
We rejoice, for God's Spirit is in our midst.
In a story passed on through the ages.
In a love surpassing all loves.
In a God who sacrifices self.
In the birth of a child.
Who is God?
Jesus of Nazareth.
Emmanuel, God with us.
An ember whose flame will kindle the world.
Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people. Light for the world to see.
Christ, we are light. Shine in our heart, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in your church, gathered today.
Sing of the hope, deeper than dying. Sing of the power, stronger than death. Sing of the love, endless as heaven, dawning throughout the earth.
Christ, be our light, shine in our heart, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in your church, gather today. A
very warm welcome to all of you who are attending our service our first Advent service electronically. May the Advent God give you hope. God grant you peace. Let us lift our hearts to God, who offers righteousness to all.
We open our hearts to the one who loves justice.
Children of God, rejoice in the one who calls us to live in harmony with everyone.
Amen
and amen. We give thanks to God. People of God, grace be unto you with mercy, peace, love, and hope from God our Father in heaven, from Jesus Christ, his Son who came because he loved us through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Privilege of leading you in congregational prayer. You have all heard or read in the bulletin about Willie Tiemens' awful news, her diagnosis of esophageal cancer. Since we wrote that in the bulletin, we have an update. Willie's MRI this week came back in a wonderful way, by showing that the cancer had not spread anywhere else. So they put in a feeding tube, and as soon as that is firmly in place, they will start radiation treatment. So please keep her and her family in your continual prayers for healing. Shall we bow our heads? Dear God, this first Sunday of Advent, we again focus on your infinite love in sending Jesus into the world. Not only Israel's hope and consolation, but the world's hope and consolation. The hope and consolation for Etobicoke, Toronto, Brampton. The hope and consolation for our own lives and hearts. A hope and consolation confirmed in the first Advent, and a remaining promise for the future as we await his second coming, the final renewal of all things. And as we think about, pray about, preach about the marvelous hope and consolation that you extend to us, may it truly resonate in our hearts, especially in these dark and unusual times when there is so much that could speak against, argue against hope and lead to despair instead of consolation. Lord, we saw on the wall behind me the symbol, the ancient symbol of hope, the anchor. Hope is the anchor for our soul. And yet, in these days, sometimes we feel more like somebody dropped an anchor on our heads. There are things all around us that are far from inspiring. Whether we think of recent news, an assassination in Iran, war in Ethiopia, deep divisions in the United States, turmoil in much of Africa, persecution of minorities in China. The list just goes on and on. And then there's COVID-19, closures that are frightening for small business owners and employees, safety concerns for nursing homes and healthcare workers, and a death toll that seems to be on an ever upward spiral all over the globe, and the loneliness and isolation and fear that comes with it all. And on a personal and congregational level, we need so much prayer for those among us that carry burdens, the burdens of cancer. We pray for Willie and Alice, burdens of being shut in, burdens of physical infirmity and death even. As this week we remember Leanne Hoving and her family and her mother, Jenny Van Egmonds, as Mark was so suddenly and tragically taken from us. So we pray with all our hearts this morning, Father, that we may lay hold of the hope that we received from you in Christ Jesus, your Christmas gift for longing hearts, to find a consolation that both heals and fixes our hearts on your promise, the promise, I am with you always, and I am busy making all things new. Lord, we pray for our leadership this coming week. We pray for our pastor, Mark Broaddus, our elders and deacons, the committee of administration as they meet on Tuesday, the leaders of Coffee Break as they conduct the last session of the year. We pray for all those who work diligently every week to enhance and make possible our Sunday services. Through it all, Lord, lead us by your truth and grace into truthful and gracious lives that honor your name and reflect your love. May we be signposts to your hope, a coming king, and a consolation, good news for those who hunger and thirst for better things to come, who may find in Jesus all that is necessary for living and dying. It is in his name that we pray this Advent season, the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Yeah. creatures find their true accord. The hope of peace shall be fulfilled for all. The earth shall know the
Our scripture reading this first Sunday of Advent is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter. I'll read with you the first 10 verses. Let us listen to the good news. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Thus far the reading of our scriptures. Dear people of God, the passage I just read with you speaks of God's grace. And what is that exactly? Grace? If you wanted to put it in one sentence, encapsulate it in one phrase, it is this: getting something good that you don't really deserve. And it is the assurance that things will be all right in spite of all the circumstances in our life that seem to contradict that. Grace is central to the Christian experience. It is the power of forgiveness, and it is the promise of hope. Unfortunately, it is also a thing that is quite often forgotten by God's people. It's a wonderful word. You hear it so many, many times. I mean, you hear it every Sunday. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. We sing about it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. But to actually feel, to experience that grace in your own life, to feel the power of it, the liberating, freeing power, that's often very difficult. Let's be realistic. Let's be honest. We can often feel terribly bound and hemmed in, immobilized even by apprehension and fear, guilt, disappointment, even our own shortcomings and sins, or betrayed by circumstances, feel just removed from God, struggling with immediacies like, in these days, job security, or pain over a family disagreement, or being so absorbed by personal loss and grief. Not everybody has the grace that we witnessed yesterday when we saw the funeral service for Mark Hoving, the grace that Leanne showed so movingly as she spoke. Grace, not always so easy to come by. And you notice we haven't even said a word yet about the fear and suffering that is attendant on COVID-19, our lovely pandemic, the one we're living through right now, the one that empties out church buildings like this one and has you sit at home by yourself. Grace, a wonderful word. But we can feel so far away from it sometimes. Now, Isaiah addressed the word of God to a nation that was, to put it mildly, deeply, deeply troubled. When we read what he says, when we read the book of Isaiah, we become aware of two things fairly quickly. First of all, he uses powerfully descriptive language to show what is going on in this world with God's people. And secondly, he gives scope, breadth, depth to God's grace, a grace that is truly fantastic and that may fill people with hope also in this strange Advent season. If it is clear anywhere in the Bible that God must come to the rescue of his people, it is here in the prophecy of Isaiah. For this book, you could read it as a catalog of woes. I'll just very briefly reiterate, summarize what happened to Israel. Kingdom splits into two. That's never good for a nation. Israel and Judah. 10 in the north, 2 in the south. And then the 10 in the north, well, they got blotted out, erased from the face of the earth by the Assyrians. And in the south, David's heirs in Jerusalem began to tremble before the onslaught of General Sennacherib, the Assyrian general. As I had to memorize in grade 9, the British poet Lord Byron said it so wonderfully well. The Assyrian came down like the wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming with purple and gold. The sheen of their spears was like stars of the sea when the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee. There wasn't a whole lot left of God's people, and what was left trembled in fear. No strength, no boast, no friends, no security, rather the contrary. You could see some outstanding examples in Israel of, you can tick them off one by one, injustice, poverty, suppression of the poor, dependence, isolation, brother rising against brother, selfishness, pettiness, unfaithfulness, over against God and over against each other, ignoring the law and the prophets. And right now, of course, surrounded on every side by gloating enemies. You can just imagine as they watch the Syrians advance on Jerusalem, the people who rubbed their hands in glee, the Moabites and the Edomites, the Philistines and the people in Egypt, Ammon. They thought it was kind of neat. Israel, Judah getting its comeuppance. Things grimmer than grim. Totally devoid of grace or hope. The once proud house of David in disarray, night falling over Judah. The only things that remain are defeat and exile. That's the reality. That's the reality. Don't talk about grace, mercy, or peace until you've really understood the setting of this book, what's all involved here. At heart, simply put, God's people left to their own devices are hopeless. God's people, by the way, of all ages and all places, who must confess, if it depended on me, this world would not be a better place. For sin has placed this world and our lives in a bind that we can't seem to get out of. We are, if you pardon the pun, we are stumped, like a cut down tree, like Israel, like the old house of David. Stumped, no illusions, no hope, little future, only enemies, problems, questions, doubts. And of course, the worst thing for Israel, I haven't mentioned the worst thing yet, is that instead of attracting others to the great God who sets people free, they had only succeeded in attracting ribald comments and hostile armies. What a disaster. And for us this morning, what a lesson. We cannot save ourselves. We keep fouling up. We're utterly incapable of saving ourselves, let alone others. It takes a miracle of God Himself to revive what was stumped, cut down by sin. It takes a miracle of God to bring hope and new life into a dead and dreary world. Our hearts need to be revived. Our souls need to be restored. I find it hard sometimes to struggle toward faith, to believe that grace can truly touch my life, that things are going to be all right. Indeed, it takes a miracle. God has to do it. He, Him alone, no other. But when He does enter the situation that we might call hopeless, He alters, He changes, He drastically turns it around, flips it over, as it were. Life springs from death, hope from despair, a fresh shoot, a new sapling springs from a cut down stump. Brothers and sisters will embrace. Judah and Ephraim will find each other back with joy. Nations will enter into God's presence. The earth will see peace as lion and calf lie down together, and the wolf and the lamb live in harmony. Enemies destroyed, fears banished. How will it happen? It will happen because of the righteous branch, the shoot of the stump of Jesse, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one about whom we just read that He will not judge by what His eyes see or decide by what His ears hear, but He will come to the poor and meek. Who are the poor and meek? The Bible says it's those who say, we can't find it within ourselves. We have to look to God for it. We can't do it. Lord, we come with empty hands. Those are the poor and meek who will greet Him. He will embrace, the Bible says, the little ones, the strugglers, the anxious, the ones who are racked with fear and self-doubt, who know we can't do it. Jesus says, all those who labor and are heavy laden may come to me, I invite them. I will be gentle with them, and they will find peace. All the ones who know in their hearts we have no place to go, we are truly stumped. We can't do it anymore. Greet it with grace, finding hope. For He will be their God and they will be His people. That is the joy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The surprising miracle of grace. The transforming hope. The vision of Advent. The one who came and who will come again. In Jesus, grace and hope enter into the world. You know, Luce Meads, a name familiar to some of you, I'm sure, in one of his wonderful books, it's called How Can It Be All Right When Everything Is All Wrong, says the following, I quote, "Grace does come. This I know for sure. Grace happens to me when I feel a surge of honest joy that make me glad to be alive in spite of valid reasons for feeling terrible. Grace happens when I accept my wife's offer to begin again with me in love after I have hurt her. Grace happens when I feel powerfully free to follow my own conscience in spite of those who think that I'm either crazy or wicked. Grace is the gift of feeling sure that our future, even our dying, is going to turn out more splendidly than we dare imagine. Grace is the feeling of hope." End of quote. Grace is the feeling of hope. And Advent people are people who experience the hope that does not disappoint. People who have met the Lord Jesus Christ. Lives that have been graced with God's love. The great God who is moving right now from first to second Advent. Who is moving in history, also in my personal history. No matter how much filled with struggles or question marks or uncertainties. As I say, as I said so many years ago, I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Sing praise to Him, for He has done gloriously. Yes. Look how a rose ere blooming from tender stem has sprung. Of Jesse's lineage coming, of saints, as saints of old have sung. It came a flower bright amid the cold of winter when half spent was the night. He came to save His people from earth's dark night of sin. And yes, blessed are all those who embrace Him with joy, the hope of the world, in Him alone, we find all that is necessary. Amen and amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You that when we are stumped, You provide a most glorious answer. That when we see no light, You come and You turn out to be the light of the world that brings a bright glow of certainty, hope, faith, and love. We thank You for that on this first Sunday of Advent. Thank You, Lord. Amen. We have the privilege again this first Sunday of Advent to celebrate communion together. And as you follow at home, I hope that you have some wine or juice and some bread ready. Let's begin. You spoke of the days to come, architect of life. When anthills would erupt from dirt, when cattle would gather under shade trees, when cats would nurture little children, when chaos would be transformed into creation, and we stood within your garden of goodness. All this beauty, all this wonder was offered so we might walk in your light. But we prefer the shadows of sin. You sent the prophets to us, urging us to lay aside our foolishness, but we continue to rebel against you. Finally, when no one expected, you came, not in power, but poverty, a crying baby born to nobodies. As we begin our journey to Bethlehem, as we seek to be alert and awake, we would proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ died seeking the good for all. Christ was raised, putting on resurrection's love. Christ will come precisely when we least expect him. Now pour out your Spirit upon the gifts of the bread and the cup, and on those gathered in these moments. Feed us with the bread which is broken, so in the days to come we may bring healing to the shattered and give comfort to the lonely. Pour the grace of the cup into us, so that in days to come we may wrap others in warm coats, lay aside our differences, walk with others in the light of justice. And when you come when we least expect to bring all history to an end, gather us around the table of hope, where we will join our sisters and brothers of every place and time in forever praising you, God in community, holy in one. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Therefore, take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ, was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. And then also take, drink, remember and believe that the blood of our Savior was poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. Join us in singing in response to God's wonderful gift, God reigns, earth rejoices. Lift up your hearts to the Lord and receive his blessing. The wonderful grace and hope of our God richly dwell in you in the love of his Son Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit this day and every day. And God's people said, Amen.
just as tomorrow the sun shall appear. Freedom is coming and healing is near, and I shall be with you in laughter and pain, to stand in the wind, walk in the rain, walk in the shall be first, the last shall be first. Close as tomorrow, the sun shall appear. Freedom is coming, healing is near. And I shall be with you in laughter and pain, to stand in the wind and walk in the rain, to walk in the rain. Tomorrow, sunshine.